This has been coming to my mind a lot. And I felt the Holy Spirit really dealing with me tonight. So you pray for me that I can bring this out. They all slumbered and slept. We are living in the end of time. And I'd like to turn to Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But you, go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. If you read the history of this 10 virgins, the Jews had a custom of 10 attendants to the wedding. And the bridegroom would come in the evening when it's starting to get dark to the house of the bride to get married. And these bridesmaids, you might call, or 10 attendants, would take lamps and go to meet the bridegroom and give him light to walk the pathway to the house. So there's a meaning in that. If you read about Boaz and Ruth in the book of Ruth, there was 10 attendants, 10 witnesses of men that he had there. But what the seriousness of this is that save people that don't go on, you know, I'm not saying if you're saved you couldn't make it to heaven without the Holy Spirit, but to tarry and tarry and tarry and don't get the Holy Spirit in your life, don't get the oil you need, get careless with your soul, you know, this is very dangerous. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit in our life more so now than ever, because we are in the end of time. We really are. I mean, yes. You look around and see what's happening, and I might not name all of it, but you know what's going on in this world today. And we probably don't even know hardly, you know, all of light. We don't know all of what God knows and sees. But they all slumbered and slept. Saints, I want to encourage you tonight. You've got to read and pray every day. You've got to resist things that come at you that keeps you from prayer. It says you're going to slumber. You know what slumber means? Let me read the definition of slumber. It is going to get difficult for us. It's going to be a time, the end of time is going to be where we're going to have lethargy. Spiritual lethargy, we're going to have to fight against it. Slumber is like dozing. It means to doze. Have you ever been kind of dozy, like you're in a car or something, and you're just kind of, you're not really asleep, but you're just kind of in between, and you're kind of like dozing, and then maybe the car will hit a bump of the road or something, and you wake up. But spiritually, this is so dangerous to doze, and you're going to have to wake yourself up. You're going to have to continually resist the spirit of the age we're in. You're going to slumber. If you look in your life right now, you're going to realize there's times you try to pray and you get down to pray and something happens. We are distractions in this world. We have so many more than they used to have. We have our telephones that were with us all the time. And I know in my own life that the Lord deals with me, and I'm not saying I always do this, but most of the time when I wake up in the morning, you know, you want to look and see. A lot of it might communicate with my family because they're very busy too, and they'll send me a text or something. But I say, well, Lord, just help me to not go after that phone, go after you. And the Lord tells me, you know, you need to read and pray first before you go after the phone. You know, we actually go after things. It's our human. We go after food. We go after drink. It's something natural we have to have. We have to have water. We have to have food in our human body. And you know, everybody just cherishes their telephones. I mean, it looks that way to me. Maybe some of you don't. But everybody, that's my phone. Don't you touch my phone or give me my phone back. I want my phone. It's just like a security thing, like, I got to have my phone. But, you know, there's something more important than the phone. And I enjoy the phone, too, to a certain point. But I know there's something greater than that phone. It is God. I've got to keep my soul stirred. I was thinking about a pitcher. If you had a pitcher of anything, or just water or whatever, or this is what we have to produce, something like lemonade and strawberries or something like that. For it to really taste good, if you put some sugar in there, you've got to stir it vigorously. Well, we have to spiritually stir ourselves. You cannot just go along and doze and sleep and doze and sleep, or you might wake up when God comes and not be ready. You know, at home I have a lot of candles. I like candles. And when I burn them, after a while, you know, when I blow it out, it's soot and stuff that I have to clean up. And I have a little trimmer at home. I didn't bring it with me, but I'll clean that up and shit. And I turn it upside down and shake it off. And then I get my little trimmer, I trim that wick and clean it up. And then the next time I light it, it burns better. Do you know there's things in our lives that we've got to trim off? Even after you're saved, you've got to trim your lamps. You've got to keep them burning. You've got to stir yourself. Every one of us, I can encourage you tonight to do that, but you still have to do it yourself. This scripture said, my soul is continually in my own hand. So, you know, we have to stir ourselves. I'm trying to tell you, the Lord's been talking to my heart, and it's a fear of God. It's a scary feeling of not, I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid of God because I'm saved and sanctified, but I fear of the people. I'm feared for the people. I fear that you're not waking yourselves up. I'm fearful that we're not getting sanctified like we should. I'm fearful that some are not trimming their lamps. And it seemed like the Lord was speaking to me that you are going to get slumbery, Marcia. You're going to, it's because the Bible says so. He said they all slumbered and slept. And you're going to have to resist it because it's the spirit of this age. You're going to doze. And you're going to have to wake yourself up and you're going to, oh, I need to read and pray. I've let this day go by and I haven't prayed, or I haven't read the Bible, or I haven't read a good spiritual book. I got interested in that telephone, or I got interested in doing something in the world. There's lawful things that we can do, but the main thing in our priority of our life is we have got to stir ourselves, dear ones. We've got to keep, because in the end of time, we are going to get sleepy. This is a warning. We're going to get sleepy because the Bible says so. We're going to slumber. And we're even going to fall asleep. But one good thing about this is you can wake up. Is this fresh water? You can wake up. I can wake up. And oh, you know, dear ones, we didn't get saved to perish. We didn't get saved to not put our all into this. That's right. You know, anything that you're successful at, you put your all into it. You will not be successful as a Christian like God wants you to be unless you put your all into it. Be a wise virgin. Be one of those wise. You don't have to be the other. Yes. I'm not trying to say, you know, half the church is going to get cut off. I'm not trying to say that. That's up to God. All I'm saying is what the Bible says. Five were not ready. Five did not keep the oil going. Five didn't keep their lamps trimmed. They weren't ready when the Lord, he says here, the foolish took the lamps, but they took no oil with them. You know, a lot of people take a good start with God. You know, they get saved and they take a good start. But they let the cares of the world, the riches of the world, the entertainments of the world, whatever it is, they just let those things distract them. And they don't keep close to God. But the Lord wants us to keep close to Him.
Amen.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes.
I cannot work out your salvation. You have to do that. Every one of us.
Yes.
Our soul is in our hand. And we want other people to get saved. We want other people to get help. And we try to help people. But I've seen it over and over that a lot of people don't do it. They just don't get it. They don't go follow on to know the Lord like they should. There's great blessings. We've had great blessings in this meeting. We've sat in heavenly places. But dear ones, we have to be wise. We have to have the Holy Spirit in our life. We ought to be able to say, I am sanctified, and know it. If we can't say, I've asked people, even if they were saved and they weren't sure, if you're sanctified, I'm not sure. We need to know. You know, God is a know-so God. He's a know-so salvation. He said, I am that I am. We ought to know what we are.
Yes.
We need to know we're saved. We need to know we're sanctified. We need to know. And if we don't know, we can come and get it tonight or any time. The fountain is open in the house of God. We can get what we need anytime, even at home or anytime. Wherever God deals with you, God, you can get saved and sanctified. You know, both times when I got saved and sanctified, I wasn't in a church. I was in his grandmother's house when I got saved. I was in our own home when I got sanctified. The church is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. But, you know, God is everywhere. God is everywhere, and you can get what you need anywhere if you're really sincere. I got sanctified one night, and it was late in the night. I got up to pray, and I just felt, Lord, I need more power. I was very young, hadn't been saved very long, but I knew I needed some more power in my life. I need some more help, and I really didn't even understand sanctification. I wasn't really taught. Like, you know, I was just newly saved. And I hadn't been raised with the saints, so I just knew that I needed more help. And I remember I got a little chair by the kitchen there, and I got down to pray. And I earnestly begged God. I said, Lord, I'm saved, and I want to stay saved. And I'm willing to give up anything you don't want me to. That day I had, I think, turned on some music in the car, some of the old music I listened to. It wasn't maybe real wicked or nothing, but it was just something I enjoyed in sin, you know, some pretty music. But the Lord kind of dealt with me like, you don't want to do those things again. You don't want to go. You don't want to be like that. And I said, Lord, take it out of my heart. Burn out these things in my heart. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go back on you. There's one thing that we need to understand, that you can't backslide. No matter, you know, no matter if you're saved, even sanctified, you could lose out if you don't keep your lamp burning. Keep close to the Lord. It's not going to be an easy thing to backslide when you're sanctified, because God will go after you. But it is possible. Sad to say, it is possible. There has been people that have went back on God. I don't know. It seemed like the enemy lays traps for people. We've heard in some of our meetings lately about how the enemy lays traps for people, and he tries to cause turmoil and problems, and he brings in like a whirlwind. It says the devil is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And do you know he'll devour us if we don't keep close to God?
Yes.
But you know what? Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And we can be a wise virgin. We can keep that oil going. We can keep close to the Lord. It said at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, you know, the Lord hadn't came right then, but it said the bridegroom is coming. I've been saved tonight, the bridegroom is coming.
Yes.
Well, you might say, well, Sister Marsh, you don't know when he's coming. No, no, you don't know. I don't know. It said, no one knows but the Father, but we know the signs. We know the signs. We know the signs of the time. And it said, here, go on. It said, while they went to buy, they were going to try to get some. I don't know when it's going to be too late. Only God knows when it's too late for you. But right now, you got some time. You got some time to get what you need. It says, And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to marriage, and the door was shut. I want to encourage us all to be ready. Be ready all the time. Be expecting the bridegroom to come.
Yes.
You know, whether he comes while we're alive, he is going to come after us. One way or the other, we're going to meet God, right?
Yes, so.
We're not going to live here forever in this world. So it says, afterward came the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I like to read over here in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and starting about the 6th verse. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. But nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. I want to read what a pestilence is. A pestilence means a deadly or overwhelming disease that affects an entire community. What about the whole world? What if we pass through? It was a pestilence. It affected the whole world. It's been something that we've never experienced before. We are in the end of time.
Yes.
It's not a comfortable place to be, really, is it? But one thing is wonderful. I don't want this to sound discouraging to you. I want you to know that Jesus can help us through these things. But we need to keep awake. You know, please remember this message. They all slumbered and slept, so I must keep awake. One good thing about sleeping, you wake up. We wake up, right? And, you know, you can wake up. You don't have to just keep in that slumbering stage. You can wake yourself up. They said the bridegroom came and they rose. They woke up and they trimmed their lamps and they had oil and they were ready to go. They were ready to meet the bridegroom. So you can wake up. But the way the Lord seemed to bring to me over and over, and it was, like I said, like a fearful thing, not a fearful in a wrong way, but fearing God, what seemed like the Lord spoke to me like this. You will have to fight slumber. You tell the people that they will fight slumber. They will fight sleepiness. They were going to have to stir themselves in spiritual things. Just remember this. The Bible is true.
Amen.
We're in an age you're going to fight slumber, and you probably already feel it. You probably already feel it. And do you know? I know I'm going back to the phone all the time. The phone can be used. Not saying take our phones away, right? Please understand. But the phone is a trick. It's a trick from the devil, not only for the saints, but the world, the people in the world. Knowledge shall increase, and this knowledge is causing people to take more time in looking up stuff, reveling in the phone. You know, they said there's people, I've seen people walking on sidewalks and stuff with the phone.
Yes.
They just about trip and fall. I've heard of people taking selfies and I think it was Grand Canyon, and fall off and kill herself.
That's right.
Because they're so, the spirit of this, like I said, it's not right to have a phone. I'm going to keep my phone. But I'm going to be aware of it, that it doesn't steal my time.
Yes.
And there's many other things.
Yes.
But be wise. Wake yourself up. Stir yourself up in spiritual things. You know, it's just like, devil, you are not going to take my prayer time away. All right?
Yes.
By what? By the grace of God.
Yes.
I am going to pray. Well, I don't have time. I'm running out the door. I'm getting in the car. I just don't. Then pray in the car.
Yes, amen.
Pray wherever you're at.
Amen.
The Bible says pray without ceasing. You can pray. The enemy cannot take it away from you. Don't let him take it. He cannot take it. Reading. If we have good eyesight and we can read, we should be reading the Bible.
Yes.
And you know, the Bible. I was talking to somebody that was struggling with the love of God. I said, get scriptures out about the love of God and read them. Read songs in our songbook. Behold what love. Write it down in a notebook somewhere and read it. And ask God to give you all the love you need. You know, there's ways that we can battle. You know, Satan talked to God, Jesus, and he said, but it's written again. You know, he was taking scriptures and trying to discourage him. But he said, it's written again that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, we need to go after God's word. How many of us in here today read the Bible besides being in service? Did you read a verse? Sometimes, you know, I read a lot. And then there are other times I'm busy like you. And I have a little promise box and I'll get that. And I have read that today more than once, my little promise box cards. I get the scripture and I take it with me. Sometimes I put it in my purse. So when I get a chance, I'm going to look at that scripture again. There's ways to resist the enemy. Every day you have to eat and drink unless you fast, right? Every day you have to sleep. But wake up, church. Wake up, people. We've got to fight the spiritual battle we're in. We have to resist. It says here that nations shall rise. Pestilences. I just read to you what a pestilence was. An overwhelming disease that affects a community. This affected the whole world. I remember when it broke out last year, I remember watching on the telephone, and there was beautiful, I think it was in Italy. They had the windows open, and they were singing. And I think they were singing hallelujah. But they were going after God. They were going after God. You know, people go after God in trouble sometimes. God allows these things for them to go after their God and after their soul. Yes, it's bad. Bad things happen. But God allows it to stir us up. To stir us up. So it says, and these are the beginning of sorrows. I'm sad to say tonight to you that we are in the beginning of sorrows. I don't know how long we're going to live, but get a hold of the Lord. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be cold. He wants us to be fervently filled with the Holy Ghost, and fervently, that fervently is not just cold. It's a fervent love for God, a fervent heat. You know, I love in the winter to stand by the fireplace or somewhere like that where that heat is so hot when you're cold, and we like to keep our temperature down a little bit, not real cold, but where it's comfortable and we're not real hot. And so when you stand by the fireplace, it feels so good to have that fervency of that heat. Do you know it feels so good to be alive and be spiritually alive, to be a wise virgin and be trimming your, and know you're sanctified and know that you've got the oil and know you're ready to meet God? It feels so good, doesn't it?
Amen.
It feels so good, but you know what? You just don't get it being lax, being lazy spiritually. Excuse my language here, but I'm trying to, you know, lazy is not a very good, people don't want to be called lazy. But we don't want to be lazy spiritually. We want to stir ourselves. We want to wake up. Saints, wake up. Church, wake up. Stir yourself spiritually. Don't let the devil do it to you. No, we can be stirred up somewhat, quite a bit in these meetings, but you know, we're going to be going into the world. What I mean, you know, we're going to be going back to our jobs if you have a job. You're going to be going back to routine. You're going to be around worldly people. You're going to be around worldly circumstances. Keep that same fervency. You know, I read one time, this lady said, You should sing every day. Now that's one time when sometimes when I'm traveling or something, I miss the saints singing, you know. A lot of times though, Jerry will bring the songbook with us. And we can sing. And there's sometimes I'm driving down the road and I'll just sing to myself. And sometimes I'll sing in the kitchen or I'll sing and I notice that I feel God's presence come to me. Do you know the scripture says speaking to yourselves in song, in hymns, and spiritual songs. You can speak to yourself by singing. And also I've had the Holy Spirit come to me and I was surprised. I was just making a drink in the kitchen and I was just normal day. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to sing the song to me. Near, blessed, draw me near, Lord, blessed Jesus. It was a beautiful song. So I looked it up. Near, it's Fanny Crosby wrote that song. I'm not getting it just now, but it was so wonderful. And I looked it up and I reveled in that. How do you revel in spiritual things? And God speaks to you. That's a great honor. That's a privilege. And you know, the Lord gave me that. And it just, I said, Lord, that's what I want. I want to draw close to you. I want to revel in spiritual things. I don't want not to be close to you, Lord. I want to fight and resist. I enjoy lots of things in life. I enjoy being married to my husband. He's retired now. And we travel and do things together. I enjoy that. But I know I need to keep spiritual. And you know, need to keep reading and praying. Well, you say, you've almost been saved 50 years. That doesn't matter. I mean, for me not to read and pray, I can't just, you know, a lot of people have went close to the end. Some of them have lost out at the end. I can't take a chance. If I can't take a chance, you can't take a chance. We've got to keep each other encouraged and keep reading and praying. And I keep saying this over and over, but are you reading and praying? Are you reading your Bible every day? Do you even read a verse? You say, well, I don't have time. Make time, dear ones. Be a wise virgin. Because it's going to be a sleepy time. No, you're going to be, it's going to be a sleepy time. Oh, my God, help us. Yes. Slumber. I didn't read all about slumber. Slumber means dozing, to sleep lightly, slothful, negligent state, taking a nap, taking a rest, drowse, lethargy. Now, I'm talking about spiritual things now. We can kind of take those things in a physical way, but I'm talking about spiritual things. Lack of energy. I don't have any inspiration to sing a special. I don't mean picking on special people. You sing specials beautiful, and we have a lot of good specials. But I'm just as an example, okay? Well, I just don't have the energy. I don't want to take the time to practice that song. Really want to practice preaching. I don't want to study my Bible. Let others preach. You know what the Lord spoke to me and said, you shall not be idle. And the Lord said it again to me, you shall not be idle. You can't let your brothers and sisters do everything. I have something for you to do. We can get like that because it's not pretty comfortable sitting there in that pew, pretty comfortable listening to everybody else. It's not so comfortable when you first walk up here, but you know, the Lord wants you to be active in His service, not have a lack of energy. My sister tells me sometime today was her birthday. She's 10 years younger than me. And she says, you're doing good. Marcia, you're doing good. I said, well, you know, it is the Lord. It's the Lord that gives me energy. Some people think, you know, God can give it to you. Who was that in the Bible, Brother Phil? You remember that one, or Brother, any of you? He said, I have, was it Caleb or Josh? He said, I have, my eyes are not dim, and I have strength. Who was that? Caleb. He said, I'm ready. Didn't he say something like, I'm ready to take this mountain or something like that? Or he could do it. He had the energy of a young person almost.
Same as strong as he was when he was 40.
Strong as he was when he was 40. Do you believe me right now? I feel like I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. Do you believe me? I feel it in my soul. You know what? You can be strong. You don't have to get lazy when you get older. Yes. You don't have to give in to this thing.
That's right.
God gives you, what did we hear the other day about singing? I am blessed. I have legs to walk. I have eyes to see. I can read. I can talk. I am blessed of God. As long as he keeps blessing, you keep being active, right? And even if you get where, you know, I know some of the older saints, they get in a place where they can't meet as active, they're still active in writing. You can write books. You can write about divine healing. You can write about C.W. Naylor. He was one of our pioneer ministers. He got hurt with a tent collapsed on him, and he was in bedridden, and he wrote books. I believe it was Hard Talks, wasn't it? Isn't it Hard Talks, C.W. Naylor? Read it. How many of you read some of these old books that the print shops put out lately? You don't have to raise your hand, okay? I'm asking you to ask yourself, how many of you get some of these old books and stir yourself up? How many of you read Birth of Reformation lately? You know what we mentioned about B.E. Warren this morning? That's interesting to me. I like history, and I sure like history about the saints. Well, yeah, but we got a lot of good things going on today. Well, yes, of course, I know that. I'm reveling in today, too, but there's nothing wrong with getting some help from the past, too. If there was, we wouldn't be singing in the Evening Light song, but we'd write new songs.
Amen.
Come on now. But Brother Joseph said, B. Warren wrote 114 of our songs, and we're singing them.
Yes.
He wrote 190 in the music. We're singing them. We're enjoying them. D.S. Warner wrote these songs. We're singing them. So he's been dead over 100 years. But yes, we still have the Holy Spirit. Yes, we're still the church. But there is nothing wrong at getting some help from the past. If it was, we wouldn't be reading the Bible, because that's really old, right? There's nothing wrong with old books. Get them out. Study anything that can help you. Those writings were not to be written in vain. We need them. B. Warren, he was called of God. He was about 17, and his daddy was over him still. You know, you're over until they're 18. But Brother Warner and there was a couple elderly sisters, Sister Sarah Smith. Now, this is very unusual. Her husband was a farmer, and it happened that the Lord had her son and his family came to live with them to help take care of her husband. And I don't know how many years she was gone, and I don't know if she came back and visited her husband. I don't know all that. I'm not saying leave your husband. But what I'm saying is God called her to do that. And there was a company of five, and they went around in the wagons or whatever, and they sang songs, and they went from meeting to establish congregations over the United States. And one day when Sarah Smith was a minister, and they were sitting for breakfast, and she looked at her husband. She said, "Honey, I'm all done cooking and farming." He looked at her real funny, and he went out for a little while, and he came back. He said, "When do you got to leave?" He let her go. He supported her and let her go. Now, I know it's strange, and I know I'm not saying that women are supposed to leave their husband. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in her case, God called her, and he let her do it. And the son was able to take care of him. I don't know how long she was gone, but she was used of God for that. She cut all cords of the world. Sometimes that has to happen with evangelists. And they went out in this group, and B.E. Warren was going to be one of them. And his daddy did not want to let him go. And the saints were praying. And he came to service, and it was right on the floor. God just struck that man down, B.E. Warren's dad. Struck him down because he said, "I will not let Barney go. He cannot go." And he struck him down. And when he was laying on, and the saints come over to see about him, he said, "Barney is the Lord's." He said, "Barney is the Lord's."
Yes.
And they prayed for him, and God healed him.
Thank
and Barney was set free to go.
Thank the Lord.
And God used them.
Yes.
God used them in a mighty way. That takes consecration.
Yes.
Are you consecrated to God tonight? Are you filled with His Spirit? Is your oil, is your lamp really trimmed and ready to go? If God was to come right tonight, are you ready to go? You know, I don't think anybody in here would argue with me that we're in the end of time, somewhere in the end of time.
Yes.
I don't think anybody would stand up and argue that point. I believe anybody with the right mind understands there's much wickedness, more than we even realize. And the church needs to be the church.
Yes,
and it's not time for us to go to sleep now. We're going to have to fight it.
Yes.
It's going to happen. You're going to watch yourself. You're going to get slumbery. You're going to get dozing. You're going to have to say, oh, God, help me to wake up here. What is going on, Lord? Help me to wake up. Help me to stir myself. Because they all slumbered and slept. This is not what I made up. This is what the Bible says. We got to fight this lethargy. Fight this lack of energy. We have to have enthusiasm. Slumber is the opposite of be enthusiastic. I know. When you first wake up, do you feel like just being enthusiastic? No. You feel like sitting on the sofa a while and just, I tell my husband sometimes, he'll tell me something we need to get doing. I'll say, give me a little while, will you? There. Just give me a little while to wake up, you know? So if you're slumbering and you're dozy, you're not full of enthusiasm. And Brother Joseph preached this afternoon. He says, we are in, I'm putting it in my words, you know, but what I'm saying, we are in a body that needs some rest. And to be what God wants you to be, you've got to take care of the body. You've got to sleep sometimes. You've got to take a nap sometimes during these meetings. You've got to rest your body so you can be enthusiastic, right? And you can be full of energy. Give your body what it needs.
Yes.
Some people say they worry, am I drinking enough water today? Are you thirsty? Drink water. If you're sleepy, take a nap. I mean, it's not anything difficult. You know, if you need what you need, give your body what you need so your soul can be enthusiastic and feed your soul. You know, you'll never have something to give to others if you don't study. Brother Joseph said, study and show thyself approved unto God. If you don't study and put that in you, and I'm not just saying ministers, Sunday school teachers, saints, all of us, a testimony for Wednesday night. Some people say, I don't have anything to testify about. Well, what did you do all day? Did you read the Bible? Did you read an old book? Did you read something about God? Did you revel in it before service? Then you might have something to testify about. But if you don't, you might get to church and say, well, I'll just listen to everybody else. I'll get warmed up by their fires. I have nothing. I have nothing to share because I didn't put nothing in there. You've got to fill your vessel. If I was kind of showing them last night. I have lots of little vessels at home. I have the cutest little, I have cream pitchers and just taller ones and shorter ones. I got this love for these little vessels. And if I had these vessels spread out here and I took this water and I just kind of poured in those vessels and poured, you know, that's what God wants to do. Pour in the oil. He wants to pour in the oil. He wants to pour and have, you know, what's that song? My cup runneth over. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. That's what we need to do. Some people make everything so difficult. Well, how am I ever going to have a testimony? What do I have to say? Fill your cup. And it'll overflow automatically. You fill it up. And you can't contain it. It's just like, if you fill this too brimful, guess what? It's going to start spilling over. The Lord wants you to spill over for Jesus. He wants you to fill up so much that it spills over. Praise the Lord. We've had some meetings in this meeting that it spilled over on me. It spilled over. The feasting on the songs and the messages, you know, this is Wednesday, right? So from Friday to Wednesday, it has spilled over on me. You say, well, Sister Marshall, what are you so excited about? Because I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I am full. I'm overflowing. discouraging message. It might sound like, you know, slumbered and slept, but you don't. You can wake up. You can be overflowing. Trim your lamp, people. Trim your lamp.
Yes.
Don't let it go out.
Yes.
I have lanterns at home, too. I like lanterns. I don't have as many, but I do have a few lanterns. I don't have many lanterns as I have candles. But there's something about light I just love. I love candles. I love the light of the candle. I love a lantern to put a light, a battery-operated light in that lantern and see that going. There's something about light I just love. And spiritually, I love the light of God. I love the light of God. And I love to keep spiritually awake, Sister Rich. I must. There's a scripture that says, what if I preach to others and I myself would be a castaway? I know it was kind of strange. Jerry was testifying. It was a good testimony. But he said something. He said, I told him to pray for himself. And I was a little bit embarrassed at first, you know. But then I got to thinking, that was okay. We're supposed to pray for ourselves. Because, you know what? If I don't pray for myself, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to preach to others. And you know, I guess that's why I try to pray for myself a lot, because I realize, Marta, you've got to keep close to God.
Yes.
You've got to. You have to. You have to. And it's not just I have to. I want to.
Amen.
I want to so I can share with others. But dear ones, be a wise virgin. Be ready. Don't be a lack of energy. Don't have inactivity. That's another one. To slumber is inactivity. Now, you had to ask my husband at home. I like to do things. I like to clean my house. I like to wash my curtains. I like to wash my windows. I like to have things clean. I like to work on the guest room when I know company's coming. And I told some of them, I said, I've done a lot of things before preparing for the meeting. Because I knew I cook food and put it in the freezer. I try to get prepared because I knew I wouldn't have as much time during the meeting to do these things. We don't want to be inactive. And you know, lots of times if we're full of activity in our natural life, it usually spills over into our spiritual life.
That's right.
If we're the opposite and we're just kind of not so much in activity in our regular life, it could spill over into our spiritual life that we're the same way. But God wants us to have activity. Get moving for God. Get close to God. Keep your experience up to date. So, that's what the Lord wants us to do. And it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I want to turn to a scripture in Luke 18. This is a short scripture, but I want you to think about it. 18 and 8. I tell you, God is saying, let's read 7:2. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Question mark. The devil is going to fight our faith. And we are going to have to stir ourselves, just like I've been preaching about, waking ourselves up to the fact that we must have faith in the church of God. And we must not let the devil take our faith. And I'm not just saying faith in divine healing. That's one of it. We cannot lose faith that we can be what God wants us to be. We cannot lose faith that we can be a Sunday school teacher if God calls us to be. We cannot lose faith that we can be a minister for God and finish our race and die that way. If God called us to do it, we can do it. We must not lose faith. We must not lose faith that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. We must not lose faith that God can help us conquer right in The end of time age.
That's right.
We can still have faith in God.
Yes.
God said, shall he find faith on the earth when he comes? Noah moved with fear and prepared that ark. How many was saved in the ark? How many? Noah and his wife, three sons and their wives. What is that? Eight souls? Do you know that the whole time he was building the ark, he was preaching to them, God's going to send a flood. They had never seen rain like that. It was dew on the ground.
That's right.
They'd never seen water coming from the skies. They laughed at him. They mocked him. Do you know people do that to us in the world? Why do you want to wear those dresses? Why do you want to wear those long sleeves? Why do you want to look like that? You know, all these things, they mock us. But you know, praise God.
Yes,
I am not ashamed of being a Christian.
Amen.
Oh, dear ones, they mocked Noah and they laughed at him. But just think, they could have got saved.
Yes.
They could have been one of those wise virgins and they could have got in that ark with Noah.
Amen.
But only his family was saved. And remember, it's similar to this because the door was shut on the ark. And I imagine there were people beating on that ark. Let me in. The water is coming up to my head. I'm not going to be able to breathe much longer. Let me in the ark. But the door was shut and they could not get in. Do you know it's going to be the same thing? I'm sad to say it. I don't want it to be. I wish every single soul in here will be a wise virgin and make it to heaven. That's up to God if that happens. I hope every single one of you make it to heaven. I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom, but I'm saying as the world goes, there's going to be people lost. And when God comes, they're going to wish they could get in, and they're not going to be able to get in. They're not going to be ready. I've been a person. I haven't been perfect in being a housewife, but I like to be ready for company. I like to be ready when I'm having company for dinner and have the table set. But even if I wasn't ready, I can get ready real quick. You know, sometimes it happens. But you know, I'm this time a person that I like to be ready for things. Right? We need to be ready for God. He's coming. And as older I get, I realize if I'm not alive when he comes, he's coming for me. I had a dream at Monarch. And I was climbing, when they sing that song, climb the gospel ladder, I was climbing the ladder. I think Sister Clay said she had a dream like that. Was climbing the ladder to heaven. And God reached down his hand and was holding my hand and helping me climb this ladder. I was going through a hard thing right then. And God gave me that dream. And I heard a voice say, are you all right? Isn't that wonderful? That God loves us so much, he'll give us a dream. And when I got to the top of the ladder and I knew I was into heaven, I said, yes, I am now. Do you know that God will do everything to help you to be a wise virgin to make it to heaven? He'll do everything to encourage you. He's never failed me. He's always gave me a dream, or he's gave me a message, or he's gave me a song. He's always gave me a sister or someone to help me or say the right word to me. He's never failed me. And even if I didn't have any person, the Holy Spirit has came and fed my soul and gave me what I needed every single time. He's never failed me. He is a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. I pray over this assembly that God will bless every one of you, that you'll understand and that you will keep your lamp trimmed and you'll be challenged to read your Bible. If I asked how many has been on the computer, how many has looked up something on the phone? I'm telling you, raise your hand. I'm not asking you to ask yourself. How much Bible reading have you done compared to that? If I had the phone right here and the Bible right here, I don't have a phone, but if I had a phone, how much time have you used on the phone compared to how much time you've reveled in God's Word? Can you say, Lord, give me a challenge to read one chapter a day? Now, you know, I'm not putting you in a box. I'm not doing that. You make your challenge. Yes. You make your challenge, one verse a day. But do something. Sometimes I challenge myself like that. You know, is that okay? I challenge myself, Lord, help me to read more, you know, or get the commentary out and study the commentary and look up something. You'd be surprised these words that you could look up. And we're living in an age where we can take our phone and we can Google, what does pestilence mean, right? Tells you what it means, right? We can use our phone for good. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you going to be wise? I like to read 2 Peter 3 and 4. May God help us tonight. 3 and 4, it said, saying, where is the promise of his coming? You know, you could say, I've heard that. Do you know that Brother Warner taught and his group that God was coming in 1880? 140 years ago? 141 years ago? They taught that the end of time was coming. What do you think if they could rise from the grave and come among us right now and see what's going on? What would they think? Oh, they say, you better have a good prayer meeting around here because, you know, God's coming for sure. Wouldn't they think that? Okay. Where is the promise of his coming? Noah, you can tell us about that rain. I've never seen water. And I'm laughing at you building a big boat like that. That's what they were doing. And they were so wicked and so bad. But one thing about God, after that was all over, he put a rainbow in the sky. And he said, I give you a promise, I will never destroy the world like that again. But you know how he's going to destroy the world? He's going to burn it up. Yes. That's why the saints have to rise first. And then dead in Christ will rise first. And then us. And we'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And then he's going to burn up the earth. You believe? It says here, they said, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The sun comes up in the morning, the moon is in the evening. Every day just keeps coming, morning and night. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water, in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is why God hasn't came yet. He wants people to repent. It says, but the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Amen. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved. Does that give you very much comfort? You know, we like this earth. I mean, we live here and we have our houses and we have our cars and we have our neighbors and we have church. We have all these things. But just the thought that all this is going to be burned up, what does that do to you in your mind? Do you think that it would be wise to be a wise virgin and to go to heaven? Yes. It says here, all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens be on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligently that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So may the Lord help us tonight. I'd like to sing that song, Behold the Bridegroom Cometh. And I don't have, let's see, if I don't want to walk away from that. But the third verse, let's sing that before I sit down. The third verse, and then we can sing the whole song. Behold the Bridegroom Cometh. Go ye out to meet him. You know what? This is going to happen. This is going to be true. And we are living in the end of time.